Hello, we're here today with Iralmis Vaquero, and we are talking about our ES399 beat. And today Iralmis will be telling us about the work she's been doing and covering the Exide factory in her community in Southeast Los Angeles. So I'm glad you're here with us today, Iralmis.
Thank you, Ashley. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. So to start off, I just wanted to know a little bit about your beat. Tell us about the topic you're covering that you've been covering this semester.
For sure. So this semester I'm covering the closure of Exide Technologies, which is a lead acid battery recycling facility in Vernon, California, which was operating for over 30 years on a temporary permit. And so during these 30 years, Exide violated a lot of environmental regulations and emitted lead, arsenic, and other hazardous chemicals into the air, soil, and water in our communities. And for a long time, people didn't know what was going on. And until 10 years ago, community members became more aware of the issue and started to organize around this issue. And so that's when Exide got a lot of coverage of just the extent of contamination they were creating. And so so just recently in March of 2015, Exide finally closed down. And it came to a big shock to a lot of community members, because even though members were organizing for a very long time to close this facility down, they were unaware of the fact that the district attorney's office was actually had an agreement with Exide to close the facility down in order to avoid criminal charges. Exide closed down, but then after that, people were just unaware of the extent of contamination that had happened after 30 years. So people learned that some homes had over 1,000 parts per million of lead in their own homes, and people were scared. There were also news that between 5,000 to 10,000 homes in Southeast LA were contaminated with lead from Exide's pollution. So there were so many homes, and there's a large extent of lead contamination. So now the question is, where is the money going to come from to remediate these homes? And why are community members still waiting a long time for lead remediation to happen? So my beat this semester is just trying to put more visibility on this issue, because community members have been working for so long, and they've had a few of their questions answered from the Department of Toxic Substance Control. And even though they placed a lot of pressure on the department to address this issue, there's still not enough there's not enough done to answer this question and fix this problem. Yeah.
Wow. It's a really important thing to be talking about. Can you tell me a little bit more about yourself and why this is important to you and your role in this whole thing?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Southeast LA, and for a long time I lived in East LA, not even knowing that I was living next to Vernon, California, which is a pretty industrialized area. I only came to learn about this after taking an environmental studies class at Wellesley College called Gender, Health, and the Environment. And in that class, I learned a lot about what is environmental justice and environmental racism. And after that, I became more curious to learn about what's going on in my own community, because it was just shocking to read a lot of these the readings that I had for this class were based on Southeast LA. And I was like, wait, I'm from there. So I wanted to learn more about what was going on in my own community. During the summer between my sophomore and junior year and junior and senior year, I interned at Communities for a Better Environment, which is an environmental justice org in Southeast LA. And through my internships, I learned a lot about the environmental justice campaigns that were going on in my own community, from stopping the construction of the expansion of a freeway that runs primarily through low-income communities, to stopping the construction of a power plant that already has four power plants in that same neighborhood. So I learned a lot about what was going on in my own community, and I just wanted to bring what I was learning in back home to my classroom and continue learning more through the classes that I was taking here at Wellesley. So that encouraged me to just continue this track and bridge like the issues I was learning about at home with my own experience in the classroom. So.
And how far away is your house from Exide?
Oh, my house is just 2 miles away from Exide Technology. So I live very close. And it was scary because I had no idea that a lot of the lead contamination was coming into my own community. And so I have an 8-year-old sister, and it was scary for me to find out that maybe it's more likely than not that my sister is being affected by the lead contamination, because as you might know, lead is a chemical that affects the development of young children's brains and also leads to behavioral problems. So it's scary to see that or to know that lead might be affecting my sister's development, and it could also be affecting other children in my own community. So it was just really important for me to find out what environmental issues could be affecting my own family's health.
What is one of the most surprising things you've learned through this whole thing? What have you taken away?
So I recently interviewed one of the lead organizers at East York Communities for Environmental Justice, which is an environmental justice org working in Southeast LA around the Exide campaign. And one of the things that he told me was that he was just telling me a lot of the sketchy things that the Department of Toxic Substance Control was doing over the past few years. And in the beginning of the campaign, when people started to find out what was happening with Exide, they actually encouraged community members not to get their soil tested. And one thing they did was actually pay owners not to allow their tenants to leave their house. So also owners could get money from the department. And so essentially, tenants were forced to live in their homes with high levels of lead, or potentially high levels of lead, and the owners would just cash out the money. So that was surprising to find out, because I had no idea that maybe the department was doing some pretty sketchy things in the background, and not encouraging people to get their soil tested is surprising, because as a department that should be protecting the communities, they're not doing enough to do so. And mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things that I found out. Another important thing that I also learned was the fact that the contamination that happened from Exide is actually the worst in California's history. And the agency has not responded adequately. One thing that is interesting to note is the fact that the head of the department has been present at every community meeting that has been surrounding Exide Technologies. And it's something that you don't really see in any other environmental issue in other places, I think, and especially in California, because it just shows the gravity of the issue. The department knows that this is a big issue, and they've made sure that they're there to answer people's concerns, but I don't think they're doing enough to address the lead contamination that's going on. So that's the most interesting thing that I've learned.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And if you want to learn more, keep reading on Edel Mises' blog that's posted on the 399 website. And thank you so much for sharing with us today, Edel Mises.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. And that's that. Thank you for listening.